Welcome to the Music Ed Matters podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Emily Williams Birch, and this podcast, it exists for you. Whether you're a music lover, an educator, a choir member, each week we bring guests to the show to help explore what matters in music. I'm so glad that you're here. Welcome to the show. Hello, and welcome to the Music Ed Matters podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Emily Williams Birch, and this is episode 52. We have had 52 weeks of Music Ed Matter podcast releases. Woo! And this episode is extra special for a lot of reasons. I mean, every episode is special, but this one is coming at you for a few reasons. A few weeks ago, I released the first ever Monday motivational moment on the Music Ed Matters podcast because I've been doing a lot of digging into motivation, and the science behind motivation, discipline, and habits is really important to me, and I think that that's something that we should really look at in comparison to music. That's where Ritter St. Luke comes in. Today's guest, my dear friend Ritter, is going to share his story and his perspective on the power of motivation in music. And it's the perfect time for this episode. It's airing on April 6th. That means it's like that spring break window, but many of us aren't getting a spring break. None of my students are getting a spring break. And the fatigue behind the pandemic, while so many are getting vaccines and so many aren't, and it's just the unknowns are still there and the fatigue is really setting in. So my friends, this is your shot of adrenaline. This is your motivational moment. This is your episode to reconnect with your purpose, to find that motivation so that you can then pour it out to your students. Not sure what we're talking about or how to do it? It's the perfect reason to listen to this episode. You should totally listen to some great quotes that Ritter drops for you too. I'm not going to give them away, but listen. And his final thought for you is epic. As always, the Music Ed Matters podcast is brought to you by our friends over at the Kennison Choral Company. Check out emilybirch.org/sponsors. Click the Kennison Choral Company logo, and that will take you to the really cool calculator they created to help you motivate and craft your rehearsals. So there's plenty of time for motivational moments with your students as well. Without further ado, episode 52, and my friend, Ritter St. Luke. Today on the Music Ed Matters podcast, we are welcoming such a dear friend of mine. Hello, Ritter St. Luke.
Hello, Emmy. How are you?
I'm so excited. I want the listener to know that I have been bothering you to come on the podcast since I think October, September, maybe August. It's been a lot.
It's been a long time.
You know you want to do it because you have such a dynamite Instagram. That's the thing. You post these epic truth bombs on Instagram and I can't help but like hit the fire button. And then the next thing I'm like, wait, don't you want to come talk about this on the podcast? I must have said it a dozen times. And you're finally like, you're never going to let up, are you? I'm like, nope.
Yeah. I don't think it's in your nature. And I appreciate it. I'm so glad to be here, honestly. It's fun.
Well, I am really excited. Can you please tell the listener who is Ritter St. Luke?
Well, I'm Ritter St. Luke. I am a native of the United States and Canada. I did my undergrad at Oakwood University, and I did my master's degree at Florida State University and completing my doctoral degree at Florida State University as well while working at Oakwood University. So two schools, very dear to me, and it just seems like life is cyclical at this moment. But I love people, I love music, and I just love to make great things come together and hopefully make people smile.
You do. You have that infectious energy. We met at a Course America conference, and it was like fast friends. I loved it. It's like we were destined to be friends.
Instantly.
Yes, it was perfect. And now the more I see these motivational things, which we're going to talk about more in a second, the more I know that we were supposed to connect at that conference. Because it's so cool to see how you bring motivation to the forefront. Okay, what are you teaching at Oakwood right now?
So at Oakwood University, I have the wonderful privilege of being in charge of the university choir. And I direct that choir there. And then I also teach piano proficiency. Music ed courses, I'm responsible for the matriculation of the music ed students to successfully complete their exams, to go on and teach and do a supervision, infill, things of that nature. And the final thing I teach from time to time is whatever Jason Max Ferdinand tells me to teach.
That is a great place to be. So a question everyone's probably thinking, do you get to spend time with the Aeolians too? If you teach the university choir, do you also get to spend any time with the Aeolians?
I can. Well, it's difficult because we meet at the same time. So my choir and his choir meet at the same time. But there's times where I've had my choir just like not meet for a day and I popped over to say what's going on. But it's interesting times. Hopefully we can revert it back to where university choirs back on Mondays and Wednesdays as opposed to Tuesdays and Thursdays, and then get more involved with my former choir.
Yeah, more collaboration. Those are COVID precautions right now?
Right. Well, yeah, it is COVID precautions. And then I think before I came here, they made that switch where they meet at the same time. Mm-hmm. So hopefully when I was a student here, not too long ago, for those of you guys wondering, I was a student here. We met on Mondays and Wednesdays as opposed to Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Mm-hmm. So. How many music ed students are you dealing with? And is your choir mostly music majors? What does it look like?
My choir is mostly music majors. I would say about 98.2% is are music majors. And currently, music ed students that we have here is only two. So if you're thinking about a place to come and study music education, Oakwood University could be the place for you.
Look at you. Retention, progression, recruitment, retention, progression, RPG, and matriculation. You're using all those academic words correctly.
Well, yeah. I just the art of a salesman is.
Yes. Hey, I would send someone over your way. I mean, we were technically in competition, but I would love for you to have some students from my neck of the woods. That's so cool that you have space.
Well, we could do a cross exchange at some point.
Hey, I'm all for it. As soon as this COVID thing's over, you better believe it.
You already know.
Oh, I'm so excited. So you teach all of those classes. You help with choirs. How did you get in to the power of motivation and motivation in music?
Well, it really stems from high school. In high school, I really learned the power of words and vocation. So I got really comfortable in speaking and public speaking, things of that nature. But it was one day I was walking, you know, there was a student on campus who said, "Man, you always walk with your head up." I said, "You know, it's because you get to see the world better this way, right?"
Ooh. And so walk with your head up because you get to see the world better this way. Just restating it for those in the back. Keep going.
And literally in that moment, I just felt like, man, that was something really positive. It was short and it was sweet and to the point. And then later he came and told me later that week, I'm like, man, that really changed my entire perspective. And I had no idea. And so from then on, I just kind of just wanted to motivate people to feel better. Especially, I really have a passion for helping people who feel detested or dejected, or even if they're going through things, just want them to know, like, you know, this is life. And you can turn your failures into lessons if you keep in mind where you're going. So it's always trying to be progressive in that nature. So that was how I got into it. And that's what I love to do. And it keeps me center as well. So, yeah.
So were you singing in a choir at this time?
I was, actually. I was singing at I went to a school called Pine Forge Academy. And Dr. Ferdinand was the director when I was there as well. And that is when I actually started to, you know, be comfortable in being who I am, because choir allows you to use your voice amongst the many, but you're working towards a collaborative effort. And it was actually Dr. Ferdinand who really taught me how to motivate through music, because all his words and his instructions were stories of overcoming something and trying to really push yourself and challenges and things of that nature. And after a while, you know, you really start to buy in and to believe in, and then you get to see it coming to fruition. So yeah, music and motivation came together in that way, symbiotically. Now that you asked me the question, it just came to my mind.
I was just trying to see, how did we get so lucky to get you in the choral profession if, as a high schooler, such a pinnacle point in so many people's lives when they're deciding what they're going to do, if you were seeing the power of motivation and the power of words, how did we get you to stick around in choir world? Like, I feel so lucky that you're part of our world.
Oh, I was literally blessed to find choral music, or choral music found me. And I'll never forget the first day I sang a song in choir, but you're right. I found that music offers you the opportunity to motivate while creating an experience, however long or short for someone, that is memorable. And as you probably may know, like even Alzheimer's patients, music is the last thing to go. So mm-hmm. the association with something positive through music, I think has a lasting and more impactful impression than just, you know, going on tour and, you know, being the next Tony Robbins or something like that. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. the joy is music and motivation together in a way that's unique.
So when you first proposed this idea of motivation and music, I got really excited because this is a big hobby of mine, reading personal development books, trying to show up a better version of myself, more resilient every day. And I really dug deep into motivation and what's the definition. I actually did a Monday motivational moment on the Music Ed Matters podcast because, you know, you can't get enough alliterations in the teaching profession. But I defined motivation as the inspiration to do something, the drive to do something, but it's fleeting. Mm-hmm. How do you define motivation? When you are saying something to someone, what are you hoping they get from the motivation that you bring with your words?
That's a great question, because you're right. Inspiration is fleeting. Motivation is fleeting. One day, I mean, you can have all the drive in the world and then over time and just kind of just elapses. So the thing that I try and look for in people is purpose. And it's not like I'm giving you all this like divine purpose or whatever, but you need to find a reason why you do something. And that why needs to be significant enough to make you do it over and over and over and over again. For instance, I'll tell you the first thing I did when I got my first job in Toronto, Canada, was a choir. And you could feel in the room, they just haven't been where they wanted to be, which is great because it says that they wanted more in life. But before we even sing a note, and I didn't know, this is my first time teaching, first time I'm about to play any. I looked at them and said, listen, you will be the best choir in Toronto. Right? That's all I said, right? And instantly your eyes is like, and I said, but it's going to take work, right? And so, and once we got that buy-in, that contract, we worked and we worked hard and we did superior. And then I think the last year we actually won first place at a competition. And then, you know, the students who were there for 3 years with me were like, oh my gosh, we actually did it. And it was like, yeah, we did. So, I think when people feel down, it almost seems as if they have an aspiration in their mind for where they're trying to go. Reminding them of that aspiration and then telling them, I'm going to go with you there, it makes them feel as if they can do anything. You want them to feel invincible.
Mm-hmm. The power to reconnect with that why. And you're just giving them the little push.
Just a little bit, yeah.
So I love this. How do you spend time talking to people? Are you reading facial expressions for someone who's thinking, okay, what is this? How does this translate to me and my classroom or my choir rehearsal or my community group or my life? What, other than keeping your head up so you can see the whole world, what are you looking for?
So what I tend to look for is responsiveness. Isaac Newton said, energy can't be created nor destroyed. It can only be transferred from one party to the next. So I think as music educators, we have to understand that the energy we bring is what we're going to get. There were times when I've gone to the podium and tried to demand certain things out of it, and just, it never worked because you weren't trying to meet them there. So what I would typically look for is, yes, A, facial expression, B, engagement. And then C, getting an understanding of like what's going on inside of I just their lives at the moment, right? So before every class, I had a motivational moment, 2 minutes where I'd share a story, either personal or not, just kind of give them hope about what's going on through the day. And I think just remembering high school and what that was like, I think multiplying that by three for some of these students of what they're trying to do in extracurriculars and keeping up with this, and they're overwhelmed, right? And coming to music, sometimes you just wanna do something free. And it's not gonna be that case every day, but knowing when those days are is pivotal in in keeping and retaining the students. And we all do it. We know when our students just need us to be that person. I think every music teacher across the nation and the world has had those moments. And if you haven't, you will. And it's going to be so rewarding. Mm.
So why is music, motivation in music, why is this important to you? And why is this something that teachers need to be constantly thinking about and finding ways to pour into their students and themselves?
Because where else does a student have the opportunity to do it? Seriously, like you, math class, science class, I mean, it can feel good.
I mean, one. You're not motivated by algebra or calculus?
That is
what?
The arts holds a pivotal role in keeping us engaged with human connection. And the text of choral music, you know, the stories behind other music, even in theater, even in visual arts, the stories and the things that make us human is what we have. It's expression. It's what we do. We are expressing ourselves. And the more we hinder them from doing that, we're innately making them less human, right? And so the reason why I feel like it's important for musicians and teachers to do it is because this is a field that lets us do it. I mean, openly, we can choose a piece of text and know where it will go, where it will lead. And in that same vein, we can think of, well, I can choose this music and some student might be going through something later and just hum a melody. Mm-hmm. And then they'll probably remember like, hey, I walked a mile in their shoes and I walked with my head up and I saw the world was a better place, right? And even if that's not in the text and you told the story like that, it just allows a lasting impression to continue with them for wherever they may go, and creating those positive associations with motivating and telling them that they can do this and that this is just another little obstacle that they'll overcome gives them that purpose to continue in life. So where else if not music?
I love that. You're talking about purpose and connecting to your why, about finding that motivation factor for the buy-in, for using the positive influence of what we do as a musical community to impact lives both now and in the future when you need to lean on it. How do we use motivation effectively without getting manipulative? Or how do we remove ego from the motivation? What are some tips or techniques or ideas you have?
Okay, well, number one, it's not about you.
Wait, can we say that again?
It's the first thing is it can't be about you. If you're motivating for your own demise or whatever, that's not motivation. That's definitely manipulation.
Amen.
Removing self is the first thing. If I were to make Instagram posts about whatever people thought, I'd be very timid to make a lot of posts, but the fact that I do it literally just to help anyone and make sure that the story is there for their purposes, I feel more comfortable and natural in what I'm doing because it comes from a place of love for the one person that I don't even know. So if that's what it is, then that's what it is. So it's not about you. Number two, really keeping in mind the reason why we do it. Why is very important to the fact of, do you care or do you not care? Or what is it that you're trying to teach? Are you trying to teach a concept or are you trying to teach a holistic kind of, you know, ecosystem, right? And so I think music educators across the world are caring, loving, giving people. And in that natural state, we do things outside of ourselves. But we have to often remind ourselves why, because it's not an easy job. Like it's not, especially this past year has been crazy in keeping ourselves motivated. So why would we, but our passion for students, I call teachers almost like once a week and there's like, and they're upset, but they always end off with saying, but I love these kids. Mm-hmm. And I keep pressing on. And so in ourselves is that why and love. So it's not about us and why. And the third thing is, because this might sound cliche, but it really just makes people feel better. Mm. And I am tired of seeing people walking around, you know, sad and dejected. Mm-hmm. Not because of anything small or anything little, it's just, that's where they are. And it's encouraging sometimes to know that someone else, whether in a respectable figure or someone who you just don't even know, is going through that and is willing to share and talk with you about it. So without sounding like you're trying to get your own mission out, don't make it about you. If you always make it about others, the authenticity will always show.
I love that you use authenticity. One of the things I said in the Monday motivational moment preparing for this one was I gave them 5 things. Drink the water because you're probably dehydrated. That just is just life knowledge. 2, listen to the podcast, which they're doing a great job of. Do the research and go to the event. And the event might be going for a walk, right, going to a conference, scheduling a phone call. It's that human connection that I think is causing the fatigue. But what I love about your posts is you're sharing from such a story place. Can you tell us, where do you find, share, and develop motivation? And where can the listener go if they're feeling like their motivational cup is empty? Maybe they're one of those people that's not quite found the courage to put the head up.
That's a great, great question. So for me personally, books are my main thing. I have an Audible account because that's what works for me. All right. So I just read through Phil Knight's Shoe Dog, which was an awesome book about Nike and how that came together. And then I also read through, that was a great book. Well, I'm reading through biographies and really trying to read through people's lives and hearing their stories. You'll be surprised to find how a biographical book might help you to find motivation, because fiction and nonfiction is great, but specifically a biography, to hear the stories that certain people that you would like admire or even don't even know about, oh, they went through what? So that's that. For more online, Gary Vee is my guy.
Really?
Yeah, he preaches love, he preaches human appreciation, kindness. It really comes from a place of like genuine love. Like he goes above and beyond just to really inspire not just older generation, just everyone. It doesn't matter who you are. And so he is it's a little bit of profanity, just letting you guys know if you look for that. And then outside of that, for inspiration, I try and talk to people and just have a conversation. And through those conversations, ideas come, and then those ideas turn into those stories that you see in the mornings, because it's like, oh, I forgot I went through something similar. And that's my process. I haven't really thought through that. That's an interesting question.
I love that. I haven't thought about biographies. I'm a sucker for a good running biography. I have read so many biographies on runners, and I've gotten so many life nuggets out of biographies on running. I will never be an elite athlete. I am just not made of those fast twitch, like go fast muscles, but I love endurance sports. So I have read one too many running biographies. I'm going to have to exchange biography lists with you and see who you're reading about right now.
Yeah, we should. Have you read really David Goggins?
Yeah.
The Can't Stop Me Now?
Yeah, I've heard that name.
Yeah, that's a good book. He's a U.S. Marine Olympic runner.
I have to go find that one. I've read Run the Mile You're In by Ryan Hall. Okay. Dina Castor wrote a great book about how she was just a talented runner from the beginning of her life. She holds like number one records for a couple different distances. And then she talks about the shift in finding your why and finding the joy through all of it.
Send that to me, please.
Oh, yeah, totally. I will totally send it to you. Plus, it's just fun to hear people's stories. I love hearing how your story of one person walking by you saying one thing in high school has now become this blossomed flower that is pouring motivation into anyone who can see your Instagram stories. I mean, I'd love to be like walking down the hall and hear what you have to say every day, but Instagram's working for me since you're so far away.
One day, hopefully, maybe we'll see.
Yeah, oh my gosh, that'd be so cool. Okay, this has been perfect, and I have a feeling we will unpack more of this as we go through our life together in the professional world. But I always let the guest give the listener one thing that really matters. You've given us so many things to think about and cling to and to refill our cups and find our motivation and share that with our students and our people. What's one thing you want them to really remember before they tune out for the day?
No is a viable answer. And I think, I don't know, that might sound like, well, what? No is a viable answer. I think sometimes we do a lot of things that we don't really want to do, right? And it's nice, it's kind, and it's courteous, but at the expense of yourself, saying no to certain things helps you recharge, replenish, and to go further in the longer run. And sometimes we can get peer pressured or coaxed and feel guilty about certain things, but I'm just here to remind you that no is a viable answer. We as educators, we say yes a lot. Yes, yes, I can do this. Yes, I can do that. Yes, I can do that. But at the expense of yourself, expense of your mental health and who you are as a person, from time to time, it's okay to say no. And it's okay to feel good about standing. I know it sounds crazy, like what? But I'm telling you, learning the power of no really opens up your opportunities to find the meaningful yeses.
I love this power of no. It is hard. You know what I put with my power of no? Glitter is a decision. Like, glitter is an option.
It is.
Glitter is a statement. So when I say no, I have like a little glittery icon on my desktop. And when I'm having a hard time saying no, I turn it on and it has glitter as an option. No, thank you.
Exactly. You got something. It.
But it aligns with the why. And what you said is so perfect. If you're saying yes to everything, you have no time to refill that cup and to be aware and empathetic and observant. Holy smokes. Sleep is also an option.
Sleep is definitely an option. I go to bed at 8:30, but I'm still up at 4.
Me too. Hey, thank you so much for doing this. It wasn't too painful.
No, it wasn't as painful as the vaccine shot.
The power of music, the power of people and music, the power of motivation with people through music so that we can make the world a better place. How awesome is this thing we call a job/hobby? Wow. I hope you feel inspired. You can say no and you can change lives because you, my friend, you matter. And we all know that music matters, especially on this 52nd episode of the Music Ed Matters podcast. So I'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.